Okay, we're going back, or rather, we're going to see now a new Gemara. Hoyu Yoshvin Kol Echad VeEchad, the fourth wide line of the Gemara. Let's go have a look back at the Mishnah, and it's part of a Tosus which we saw briefly, but it's based on a Gemara we're about to see. We'll do Chazar. So the Mishnah said right at the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph, Hoyu Yoshvin Kol Echad Mevarech LaAtzmai. Sorry, not well read. Hoyu Yoshvin, comma, Kol Echad Mevarech LaAtzmai. If they were seated, then one makes a bracha on everybody else's behalf. Hesevu. If, however, they were leaning, then Echad Mevarech LaKulam. What's the difference? So look at the very last Rashi on that page. Rashi says, Kol Echad VeEchad Mevarech LaAtzmai, if they were sitting, De'ein Keva LeSuda. The aim keva l'suuda, b'loi haseiva. The aim keva suuda b'loi haseiva. There has to be a kvius of a suuda in order for one to make a bracha on everybody else's behalf. And it's only considered a proper kvius, meaning an established proper setting for a meal, if they are leaning. Under those circumstances, then indeed one would make a bracha for everybody. But if they are just yeshvin, so at least in the times of the Gemara, that was considered arai. That was considered more snack-like. In other words, we're not really considered to be eating together. And therefore, there's no connection between us, therefore everybody makes his own brocha. We saw Tosis, and we'll come back to it, that none of this applies nowadays, because for us, to the contrary, sitting around the table is a kvius. The equivalent of their sitting might be our standing. So if you're standing at a kiddush, at a reception, having a little snack of something, then we wouldn't call that a kvius suda. So their sitting is like our standing. Our sitting is like their leaning. That's considered a proper kvias, and if it's a proper kvias, then echad mevarich le kulam. Now, let's have a look at the Gemara, and then we mustn't forget to come back to a tesis on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, fourth wide line. Hoyu yoshvin kol echad ve'echad. So what's the halacha then? Every person makes his own bracha. But if they're leaning, one bracha for everybody. Says the Gemara, Hesevu in. Loi Hesevu loi. It's Meduyak in the Mishnah that it's only if they're actually leaning, that's considered a kvias, the way Rashi explained, and one would make a bracha for everybody. But if not, then not. Which, by the way, is extremely bizarre, and Tosis discusses this. It's only necessary to make a diuk if it's not explicit. But here it is explicit. Where is it explicit? It says Mefurosh. If you're Yoshvin, then the halacha is different. So why do you have to? If the Mishnah would only tell me the case of Heseva, then you can say it's Meduyuk, etc., etc., etc. That if you wouldn't be leaning and you'd be sitting, the implication is. But why would you need to base yourself on an implication where the Mishnah spells out black and white exactly what the halacha of Yeshvin is? It's very, very bizarre. So we'll see in Tosis presently. Says the Gemara, Hesevu en. So you're telling me that it's only if they're leaning that the halacha would be that one makes a bracha for everybody. But loy hesevu, if they're not leaning, then loy. It says the Gemara, don't understand. For a minute, we have a kasha. What's the kasha? It says, Asoro shohoyu hoilchin baderach. 10 people were along the path, going on a journey together. Afal pisha kulam oichlim. mikikar echad, even though they might all be eating from one loaf. So they're walking. They're actually eating whilst they're walking. So even though they're all sharing one loaf of bread, nonetheless, kol echad ve'echad mevorich la'atzmoi. Now how do we understand that? Why do they all make their separate brachas?
Because they're not
chabura. They're walking. You couldn't have had less of a kvius than that. Okay, how does that brisa continue? But yoshvu le'echol. But if indeed they actually sat down to eat, afal pi shekol echad ve'echad oichel mikikoroi, even though each one is actually eating from his own bread. End of quote. So again, if they're walking, then even if they're sharing a bread, that's not considered a kvius. Everybody makes their own bracha. If they're sitting, then that is considered a kvius. So much so that even if they're eating their own bread, everyone's got his own roll, but it's a kvius and you make a one bracha for everybody. Says the Gemara. So what do you see from there? Katani, so we have just now stated Yashvu Afal Pi Shaloi Hesevu. So you see quite clearly that merely sitting, even though there's no leaning, is considered a kvius, which is an absolute stira to our Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that it's only if you're leaning. Yash Hesevu En Loi Hesevu Loi. So it's clearly Muduik in our Mishnah, and maybe even explicit in our Mishnah, that unless you're leaning, sitting is not considered a kvius. And yet in this Braisa it says it is. Walking isn't, fine, that I appreciate. But sitting, it says in the Braisa, is a kvius. That's a complete stira to our Mishnah. Says the Gemara. Now obviously, just by the way, in parenthesis, if nowadays, this braisa would make a lot of sense. Because as Tosafot already pointed out, that nowadays we do sit. But either way, the Gemara is not talking about nowadays, the Gemara is talking about then. So either way, we have a stira. Because at the times of the Gemara, at least, in the times of the Mishnah, the only kvius that exists that we know of is leaning. And yet here it says, even sitting. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, kegoin, the Omri, we're talking about a case where they said, Nezel, we shall go, v'nechoil, and we shall eat, lachma, bread, beduch, plan. What does it mean, the duch plan?
In a certain place.
In a certain place. Duch is a place, plan, like the word ployni. Says Rashi, beduch plan, b'mokoim ployni. What does that mean? Why is that any better, the fact that they announce from the outset where we're going to eat? Says Rashi, dekavu lohem mitchila. Because they established, right from the outset, mokoim, a place where they're going to eat, bedibur ve'etza v'hazmona, with their speech, with their plan, with their designation, hava kvius. Says Rashi, avol yoshvu me'elehen. That's the key word. What does that mean, yoshvu me'elehen? If they sat by themselves, meaning of their own accord. They just happened to end up sitting together. The mokim echod yachad, even if it's in one place together, eino kvius. In other words, there's sitting and there's sitting. There's two types of sitting. There's a sitting in which you just ended up sitting together by sheer coincidence, not planning. That's not considered a kvius. That would be very similar, maybe even nowadays, where you go to a restaurant and there happens to be somebody sitting at the next table. You didn't plan it, you don't know the person. You just ended up sitting next to him. Whereas if 10 people go together to a certain place and say, you know what, let's sit and make a picnic, and we're going to sit down in this field and eat lunch, says the Gemara, that's called a kvius. So it's not so much Yoshvu or not Yoshvu. That's not really the key. What is the key? Whether this was a planned joint meal or it just ended up as a joint meal, because then it's not considered a kfis. So let's look at that Rashi again.
Which Rashi?
The Duch Plan. Keep going down. More. Yeah. Beduch plan, two lines down. The last two words on the line. Beduch la plan. Says Rashi, b'mokim ploini. The kavu lehem itchila mokim. Because they were kaveya right from the beginning, a place. Bedibur, with speech. Be'etza, with a plan. Vazmona, and a designated. They clearly planned and they spoke together, right? We're going on a trip. We're going to holchim baderech. And then we're going to stop for lunch and we're going to sit in a particular field on a bench there. That, says Rashi, have a kvias. That is kvias. That's kvias. Why is that kvias? Because they didn't end up by coincidence, as it were, just happened to be sitting next to each other. They planned it. There was dibur, there was eitzah, etc., etc. Avol yashvu me'eilehen. But if they sat me'eilehen, what does that mean, me'eilehen? By themselves, meaning without planning, b'mokim echod. If they just happened, as it were, to sit in one place, yachad, together, eino kvius. That is not considered a kvius. Why is that not considered a kvius? They just, by stroke of luck, as it were, ended up sitting together. There's no connection between them. But if they plan to do so, that's already different. Fine. So we're making an akimta. That's what the Braisa is talking about. When the Braisa says that if they walking along the path, that's no good. But if they sat, that's okay. That's talking about where they plan to do so. Whereas our Mishnah, when it says that sitting is not okay, is talking about where they did not plan to do so. Rather, as Rashi pointed out, they just ended up sitting together. That's not considered a
kvius. Does it require a verbal expression?
That's what it sounds like.
And a specific place?
Right.
Like the Braisa point?
Right. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
You need to have a verbal plan of exactly where you're going to sit, and that now makes it a kvius. Now, says the Gemara, let's have a look at Tosus. The second last Tosus on the Yomot. Hesevu in, loy hesevu loy. So this is the question that we mentioned before. Tamer says Tosus, it makes no sense. Why does it make no sense? Amai makshe midiyuka. What does that mean, amai makshe midiyuka? Why are we asking from a diyuk? Imagine I would say to you, this store is open on Monday, but it's not open on Monday. It's open on Sunday, but it's not open on Monday. So I said clearly, it's open on Sunday, and I also said clearly it's not open on Monday. So imagine you say to me, you said it's not open on Monday, so it's meduyuk. The implication is that Sunday it is open. Why do you need to make a diyuk? I said clearly Sunday is open. Why do I need the implication? Over here, what are we saying? That if you tell me Haseva is considered a kvius, so there's a diuk. That means you can imply from over here, you can deduce from over here, that if it wouldn't be leaning, then not. Well, of course, it says so explicitly. It says in the Mishnah that if you are Yoshvu, that's not considered a kvius. So why would you need to now base yourself on a diuk? That's what Tosfos is asking. Tema, amai maksha. Why are we asking midiyuk? Why are we asking from a midiyuk? The tikshilei, why don't we ask mireisha from the beginning of that very Mishnah where it says Behedya. What does behedya mean?
Specifically.
It says absolutely specifically, the Ketani, it stated there, Hoyu Yoishvin Mavorech Kol Echod La'atzma. It says it black and white. And if it says it black and white, why would you need to deduce it from elsewhere? Tosis is not claiming that the diuk is not a good diuk. It's an excellent diuk. But why do I need the diuk? Whatever you're trying to deduce is 100% correct. In fact, it's so correct, it says it explicitly in the Mishnah. So why didn't the Gemara state that? Why didn't the Gemara merely say that, listen, it says in our Mishnah that yeshiva is no good, and in the Braisa it says yeshiva is good. Simple contradiction. It says Tosis, no. Yesh Leima. Di'i me'resha. If I would only have the ratio of the Mishnah where it says that what? That if you sit, that's not considered a kvias. I wouldn't have been entitled to have asked a question. Why not? Hava Aminai may have said, Sheyoshvu Bishvil Esek Acher. Maybe it's talking about they sat for some other Esek, for some other involvement. What does that mean for some other involvement? They had a business meeting. Shaloi hoyo daito mitchilo lechel. But they weren't planning on eating. Maybe that's what it means, Yoshvu. Avol im Yoshvu adaito lechel. But in theory, if they did sit down specifically with planning to eat, not necessarily with dibur, but that was the das, then in theory I could claim that afilu beloy haseva, maybe even without leaning, nami mahanya, it would also be okay. Where do I see that that's not true? I see that that's not true when I get to the Sefer. Because the Sefer says that the only single solitary case that we can consider a kvias is haseva. But if I wouldn't have had the Sefer, which mentions leaning, that I couldn't have based it on yeshiva. Why? What would I have said? What is yeshiva? Why is yeshiva not a kvias? What type of yeshiva are we talking about?
A business meeting.
Yeah, a business meeting. That's what it means. Esek acher. They sat around together to have a good schmooze. They sat around together to have a business meeting. They sat around together, whatever it may be, they were sitting there waiting at the bus stop together. They didn't sit planning to eat. So maybe that's why it's not considered a kvias. And were that to be the case, by the way, we would no longer be allowed to ask the steerer from the Braisa. Why not? Because what's the Braisa talking about when they're going on the trip and they're sitting down? But they did plan to eat together. Forget the dibur, even if we don't know the dibur. In the Havman, we didn't realize there's dibur. But we certainly realized that they sat down to eat. They didn't sit down for a business meeting, they're going on a trip together. So therefore, as far as the ratio is concerned, we quite easily could have said that, listen, there's no contradiction. There's one type of yeshiva which is with no intent to eat, and there's another type of yeshiva where there is an intent to eat. There's no contradiction. Therefore, I can't base myself on what's stated explicitly. Therefore, I've got to move on to the next line where it says Heseva. So now I can be medayek that what? That leaning is the only case which is considered a kvias. But sitting down with intent to eat is not going to do the trick. Oh, if that's the diuk, now I have license to ask the question. Which is, here I've got a case where they went on a trip and they planned to eat, and yet you told me that yeshiva is considered a kvias. That's now a fair question, to which the Gemara has to answer, no, here's better, because not only did they plan to eat, but they actually spoke about it as well, and that gives it an extra kvias. So it was a real, proper plan, rather than just das, view to eat. Fine, but then we understand the question, and we understand the Gemara and the Teretz. Fine. So now Let's look at the next story, and then we have to see the bottom Tosfos and Tosfos on the previous psalm. It says the Gemara. Fourth bottom line. Ki noch nafshei derav. When, what does that mean, noch nafshei?
Died.
Noch nafshei means, literally translated, noch is to rest. Soul. Nafshei is nefesh, when his soul rested. I'll never forget my grandmother, Olea Shalom. 35 years ago, she's no longer alive. She broke her hip, so she had to be in hospital for a long time. And it was an extremely noisy hospital. The wards were very open. There was no private ward. And she was always complaining. She couldn't sleep properly. It was very hard to rest there. And she was in there for a long time. And eventually, she got home. So she was so excited. Finally, she had a bit of peace and quiet. So one of my little cousins wrote to her, "Dear grandmother, we're so delighted you're home. It's nice and quiet. So eventually, you can rest in peace." Can rest in peace. Okay, so that's what it means. Kinoch nafshei, when his soul rested. In other words, when Rav passed away, Ozlu Talmidov Basrei. So his Talmidim. What does it mean, Basrei?
After
him. What does it mean, after him? Says Rashi. They followed him. Dekavruhu. Says Rashi. They buried him. Be'ir Acheres. In another town. So they all followed his coffin to the Leviathan. Now, Ki Hodri, when they came back, so we're talking about they're all on foot, walking together. Omri, they said, Nezel v'nechel lachmo, let us go and eat bread and nahar danak, or dunk, on the river danak. Says Rashi, kachshmoy. That's the name of this river. Now, doesn't this sound very similar to
what? Previous case.
That's not much the previous case. They were planning on eating. They verbalized it. They said where they're going to eat. They have all the ingredients in place. If the halacha should be, once they sit down, what should be the halacha? One person makes a bracha for kula. That should be the case, and we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem, we'll get to the end of the sugya, that indeed was the final psak. The problem is they didn't know it. So they said, let's go and eat bread, a nahar danak, on this riverbank. Fine. Bosa de korchi. After they had already eaten.
What's the shortest of that word?
Korchi literally means to, like, koirich on say the night, like a sandwich. Uh-huh. After they had their sandwiches. Yosvi, they sat down, and they asked now the following question. They were wondering to themselves, one moment, now what do we do? Hesevu dafka tanan. When it says Hesevu in the Mishnah, is that dafka? Does it have to be leaning? And we're not leaning. Aval yoshvu loy. But sitting simply won't do the trick. Or Dilma, perhaps not. Maybe Kevin da Omri Nezel v'nechol Rifta. Maybe because we said Rifta means bread, because we said we're going to eat bread, Beduchta Planisa, which is the Aramaic for Mokum Plaini, in a specific place. Maybe Ki, that is like Hesevu Damya. That's domi, that's doime, that's comparable to esevu. In other words, precisely what the Gemara said before was exactly their suffix. We said before, so we know the answer. We said before, yes, that verbal planning of where you're going to eat is like leaning. But they didn't know that. Therefore, they're scratching their heads, thinking, one second, we've finished the meal, we want to bench. How do we do this? Does everybody bench separately? Or does one person bench on everybody's behalf? Do we say that when it says in the Mishnah Hesevo, that is dafka? And if it's dafka, that's the only case that's considered a kvias, but we're not leaning. We're just sitting, and that's not good enough. Or perhaps, no. Even if you're sitting, but if you specifically said where you're going to go, what you're going to do, maybe that's considered a kvius. By the way, there is an obvious question on this Gemara, which Tosfos will discuss. Why do they wait till they got to benching to discuss this? What do they do for Amoitzi?
Yeah, I was going to ask. We're not talking just about Bracha Achrona.
We are, because it says they've already eaten. That's a kasha.
Right, but before we got to this point...
So why didn't they discuss it there? And that's Tosfos' kasha. We'll see. Tosfos debates this. Why did they only wake up at the end of the meal? As soon as they wanted to sit down, they should have straightway said, one moment, what do we do now? How do we eat? One bracha or many brachas? Tosfos will discuss this. So either way, here they've got this asafik. Again, do we say, v'komi boilu, the second bottom line, they were asking the following question, hesevu dafka tnan? When it says hesevu in the Mishnah, is that dafka? It's got to be that case. Avol yoshvu loy. But sitting under all circumstances is not considered a kvius aydulmanot. Perhaps kivan d'amri, maybe because they said nasal, we're going to go over nechel rifta, we're going to go and eat bread beduchta planis in a certain place. Maybe ki hesevu domi. Maybe that's considered like leaning. Loi hava beyodaihu. What does that mean, lehava biyodayu? Literally translated?
It wasn't in their hands,
meaning
they didn't know.
They couldn't figure it out. They couldn't work it out. They got the suffix, maybe yeah, maybe not, maybe not, maybe yeah. Kom Rav Adar Ba'avo. So Rav Adar Ba'avo stood up. Ahader kare la'achoyre. V'kora kriya achrena. What does it mean? Ahada kare la'achoyre. Let's just read one more line and then we'll see Rashi. Omar, he said, in pain, noch nafshei derav. The Rav has passed away. Ubirkas mezayna loy gomrinon. And the brachas of food, we haven't learned. What do? We're stuck without the Rebbe. And he was so distraught that he did Kriya all over again. You know, I heard the most beautiful and very moving moshel, and I actually heard it twice in the same shul, in a shul here in Ramat Shemesh Gimel. After Rav Steinman passed away 2 years ago, they made an evening of Hespedin in the big shul here. And then just a few months ago, after Ramisim Karelitz passed away, they also made an evening of Hespedim. And the Rav of the Shul, whose name is Rav Meirovich, in the Hespedim for Ramisim Karelitz, he quoted what one of the Rabbonim said in the other evening of Hespedim for Rav Steinman. It's very, very moving, very, very beautiful. And they both said, I remember, I was there at both Hespedim. One of the rabbonim stood up after Rav Steinman was nifta and said, listen, Rav Steinman was over 100 when he passed away. 102, I believe. So, what did we think? He's going to live forever? What did we think? Here we are, distraught, that the Rebbe has passed away. What did we think? He's going to live until 500 years old? He was over 100. So he said, most beautiful, beautiful mashal. He said, there was once a person who had to navigate his way through a dark forest. How am I going to do this? It's pitch dark. At night, it's dark anyway. And even during the day, it's such a complex maze and covered all the trees. You can't see where you're going. So he bought himself a candle. He bought himself a candle, and with that, he began navigating his way through the forest. The candle was a candle that can burn for an hour. And indeed, after an hour, the candle came to an end. And he's sitting in total darkness, and he sits down and he cries. Somebody sees him and says, I don't understand why you're crying. He says, because I've got no candle. He said, but you knew when you bought the candle for an hour that this candle's only going to last for an hour. So what are you crying about? He said, that's true. But he said, I thought that before the candle would go out, I'd be out of the forest. I didn't realize I'd still be stuck here. So they said, the Maspidim, very beautiful, very movingly, of course we didn't think that Rav Steinman is going to be here for hundreds of years. Derech kol adam. But we have so many unresolved questions and so many unresolved issues. We thought that, of course, we knew that one day he would be hoylech b'derech kol adam, but we thought at least by then we'd be out of the forest. We'd have things resolved and clarified, and here we are left without the Rebbe and without the answers. If I may say so myself, I almost feel that now. My Rebbe was Nifta young, 72, very young. I have on my desk at home a paper with tens and tens of questions. On my computer I've got another paper with the 200th question that I was planning on asking him, which I didn't get around to, but I wasn't worried, I thought I would. So that's really the sentiment that was being expressed over here. Of course I knew that this candle is only going to last for an hour, but I thought by then I'd be out of the forest. And this is mamash what this Gemara is saying. Here we had a Safik, Birkas Mezayna, and we don't know what to do. We can't ask the Rebbe. What did you think? He did Kriya. So what did you think? The Rebbe's going to be here all your life? You can ask him your questions until you're 120 and the Rebbe's going to be 220? No, but now we're very lost without our Rebbe. We thought that maybe we would get to ask him this question before he passed away. We'll be out of the forest. So what does it mean, Ahader Kare La'achayre? That he moved the Kriya to the back. Says Rashi, look at the top Rashi. The halacha is, strictly speaking, that in the same way as a child does Kriya over a parent, so too a Talmud does Kriya over a Rebbe. Which is a complicated halacha. Remember, when my Rebbe was Nifter, I wasn't sure what the halacha is. Are you supposed to do Kriya or not? But technically speaking, that is the halacha. And that's what they did. Says Rashi, Kera, the tear, Shekora, that he tore, who? Rav Ada Ba'avo, Behesped Rabbi, when he gave the Hesped for his Rebbe. In other words, who is his Rebbe? Rav. He did a Kriya. Now, where do you do the Kriya?
Front.
In the front. Why in the front?
Close to the heart.
In fact, technically speaking, you're supposed to do a Kriya all the way to the heart. In Chutz La'aretz, they don't do that. In Chutz La'aretz, the minhag is you just do a Kriya on the outermost garment, your jacket or on the shirt. But here in Eretz Yisrael, if somebody's wearing a jacket, they make him do a Kriya on the jacket,
sure,
and then on the shirt, and on the undershirt, all the way literally to the heart.
Not
the tzitzis. So either way, that's why the Kriya is done in the front. So what did he do now? Hichzir hachaloik la'achayrov. So he now turned it back to front. Remember, they didn't have jackets or shirts for that matter. They had a cloak, which essentially could easily be turned around. There's no back or front, essentially. It was, I guess for a want of a better moshel, it was a bit like the cover for the Sefer Torah. Just a cloak where you could turn back to front. So hichzer achaloik la'achayrov, uma shela'achayr, and that which was at the back, now lifnim, is in front. Why did he do that? Kedei lekroya kera achayr. In order to tear another tear. Again, why did he want to do that? Laharois ovel achshov. In order to show his avelus now, k'yoyim hamisa, like the day of the death of the Rebbe. Why? The Rebbe didn't die now. He died a while ago. If they had to go to another town and they were walking back, maybe it was 3 days later. So what do you mean, k'yoyim hamisa? Says Rashi, al shahoyu srichim lohiro'o, on that which they needed to, what does it mean, hoira'o? They needed to paskan shaila. Ve'ein yoidim lahoirois. They didn't know the psak. So that essentially, as far as they were concerned, was as if the Rebbe had just died. Because now you really feel it. Now we really feel it. I needed to ask a shayla, and like we saw in the Gemara, loy have a, it wasn't within their hands. They couldn't pass on the shayla. Now I really feel the death of the Rebbe. So he wanted to do a kriya all over again, but the shirt is already torn. So he switched it round. What was at the back, untorn, is now in the front. So now he did another kriya. Very, very moving Gemara. To an extent, the connection between a Talmud and a Rebbe in some areas of halacha is a stronger connection than a son to a father. Where does this express itself?
Here a miklat.
Miklat, with Aveda. It says if you see two items lying on the street, one belongs to your father, one belongs to the Rebbe. You can only retrieve one, you have to retrieve from your Rebbe's. If you can only save two people drowning in the sea, you're supposed to save your Rebbe. Says the Mishnah, why? Because your father brought you to Olam Hazeh. Your Rebbe is going to bring you to Olam Haba. He taught you Ruchnius. Unless your father was also your teacher, then obviously he brought you to Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, that's different. Then your father is your Rebbe. Now, it's only to an extent, because, for example, all the halachas of Avelos, there's no halacha that you sit shiva when the Rebbe passes away. There's no halacha of shloshim and of 12 months. And on a parent there is. So you see, it's a little bit of a contradiction which needs to be addressed. But either way, you see from the halacha, and as we've said so many times, the halachics always represent the hashkafics. If you want to see the hashkafa of every Indian, of any Indian, you learn the halacha, that's where you'll see it. So if the halacha is that a Talmud does kriya over a Rebbe, you see that the relationship is literally like a family relative, like a parent. Like a parent. It sort of connects a little bit to what we mentioned in our Vav on Monday night, that the word ben, we said ben from the word boina, to become guf echod. If a son doesn't talk to his father for 80 years, but he's still a son. Why? Because they're guf echod. There's a connection. Whereas if a friend doesn't talk to his friend for 80 years, so we're no longer friends. If a husband and wife don't talk to each other for 80 years, what's the halacha? We're still husband and wife. Why? Because what does the Torah say? The dovak be'ishtoi, v'hoyu lebosor echod. They become one. So much so, again, we have a halachic principle. Ishtoi kegufi. One's wife is like your own goof. So if your wife is like your goof, even if in theory you have no connection to her essentially, but you still do have a connection essentially because you're echod. That's the relationship of husband and wife. That's the relationship of son to a parent. And here we're being taught, this is the relationship of a Talmud to a Rebbe. A Talmud to a Rebbe is not just somebody who you use. You know, if you have a dentist, he might help you a lot, but you don't become guf echod with your dentist. And if you have a decorator, he might have helped you a lot to fix up your house. But you've basically just used, you've availed yourself of his services. Whereas a Rebbe is not just, oh, here's somebody who did know and I didn't, so therefore I used him as like a university professor, lecturer. No. The Talmud becomes connected essentially to the Rebbe. We've actually discussed this in the past in the Parashashir, where the Mefroshim explained that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, organizes Bashkocha Protis, that the Rebbe is matched up with the Talmud. Just like a child didn't just land up in this family, HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that there should be this child with this parent, so too a Talmud is connected essentially and inherently to his Rebbe, such that the Maseiros of the Torah, which is handed from generation to generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized it, should go from A to B to C to E to F to G, etc., etc., etc. And that's the unbroken chain. And therefore, when the Rebbe is no longer, the Talmid does kriya, he's lost. Part of him is broken. Part of him has been broken off. Just like a family member, Rachmana Litzlan. But what our Gemara is teaching us so movingly is that when it came to, in a very practical way, he wanted a paskin a shayla and was unable to do so, so he felt that's the Yom HaMisa. He felt that's the Yom HaMisa. He wanted to do a kriya again. So let's look at the Gemara again. Ahader kare la'achoyre. So he turned round the tear to the back. V'kora kriya achrinam. And he tore another tear. Omar, and he said, Noch nafshe derav. The Rav has passed away, Ubirkas Mazoina, and the brochas over food, Loi Gomrinon, we have not learned. Ah, until all of a sudden, the Osa Hahu Saba, what does Hahu Saba mean? So we know Saba literally means a grandfather, but the Lashon Chazal means an elderly person. Until this old, wise Talmud Chacham came along the scene. Romi lehu masnisin abraisa. And he asked that very question, the stira between Mishnah and Braisa that we asked before. Which stira did we ask before? Then in our Mishnah it's meduyak that sitting is not considered a kvias. In the Braisa it clearly says that sitting is a kvias. And which teretz do you arrive at, says the Gemara? Vashoni lahu, and he answered for them, how must you reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa? It must be that Kivan, Da'omri, Nazel, Venechel, Lachma, Baduch Plan, because you actually said, let us go and eat bread in a specific place, Ka Hesevu Domi. That is like Hesevu. So the Talmidim, they did think of this. It says that that was their suffix in the beginning. It's not like he was machadish them a massive chiddush, but they didn't know, is that the correct psak or not? Because they said, maybe Hesevo is dafka, and maybe it's not. 50-50, they didn't know. Until this Saba came to them and said, yes, I can prove that is the case, because otherwise you have a stira between a Mishnah and the Braisa. Says Rashi, Romi lohu, we've mentioned this many times, by the way. What is the technical translation of Romi? Romi literally means to throw. We said that this morning in Davening. Where? In Oz Yoshe. Sus v'reichvay Romo vayam. Kodesh Baruch Hu threw into the sea man with his rider. So when you throw, says the Gemara always uses that as a metaphor for a contradiction. Why? What's that got to do with throwing? Because you are, as it were, pitching one against the other. I've got the Braisa, I've got the Mishnah. Each one independently is fine, but when you throw them against each other, that's where they clash. Says Rashi, Romi lohu, kedu Romi non le'el. Just like the Gemara previously asked. Va'al korchoch, and you're forced, mi boyele, you're going to be required, le'ukmi, to establish Braisa b'hochi. You're going to have to say, again, if you read the Braisa independently, excuse me. Says the Rashi again, Valkorchoch mi boyele le'ukmi Braisa b'hochi. So you're going to have to establish the Braisa as we did, v'ktoni echod mevorech l'kulam. The kvias, that is considered a kvias. Why is it considered a kvias? After all, they're only sitting, they're not leaning. So you're going to have no choice but to say, it must be, because when you plan verbally to sit in a specific place, that's good enough, that's considered a kvias. So because in this particular story, that's exactly what they did, that's why it will be considered a kvias. Fine. Now, let's immediately see the bottom tesis, and with this we'll finish. Says Tosfos, Asara b'nei Adam shehayu mahalchin. These 10 people were walking because nezel v'necha lachma. Because they said specifically they're going to go and eat. Ki yoshvu v'hesevu damia. That's as if they really leaned. V'hasht anicha. And now it's fine and well. Hod parish b'masnisin. That which we originally explained in the Mishnah. The Mairi. Bein b'birkas ha-moitzi. Bein b'birkas ha-mozein. K'damash ma'ocha mitoich ha-braisa da'asor b'nei Adam. It's clearly explicit in our Mishnah. In other words, what Tosis is pointing out. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Beis Omed Aleph. Birach alayayin, poitas alayayin, parperes. All of those were talking about which bracha. Bracha Rishayna or bracha Achreina? Rishayna. And then suddenly you tell me the halacha of Yeshvin and Suvin. So the assumption is, that's also talking about bracha Rishayna. And Tosis on Mem Beis Omed Aleph says, no, it's also referring to Birchas HaMozoin. Says Tosis over here, look, this is the confirmation. Because you see that the story over here was, it says, after Shekaruchu, they have already eaten, and suddenly they've got a whole discussion about one bracha, two brachas, who's ever talking about that? So you see clearly that even Birkas HaMozen is a subject of this shayla. That's what Tosfos says again. V'hashtenicha. Now it's very good. Oh, the parish from Asnisin, that which I explained in the Mishnah, the Mairi that we're talking about, bein b'birkas hamoitzi, bein b'birkas hamozen, k'demashma hocha. As is quite clearly mashma over here, mitoich ha-braisa, da'asor b'nei Adam. In the braisa of asor b'nei Adam, you see quite clearly that even Birkas HaMozen has the same issue, with the obvious question being what you just asked. So why indeed did they only think of this question afterwards? V'im toima amai himtinu, why did they wait, l'miboye, to pose this question, ad Birkas HaMozen? Why indeed did they wait until Birkas HaMozen? V'heich birchu ala pas mitchilo. How on earth did they make a bracha on the bread? Right in the beginning. They should have asked the same question there. One second, we're stuck. What do we do now? And they didn't. Says Tosfos, Hashem Omairi. I've got no choice. Says Tosfos, maybe what happened was, maybe we're talking about the Yoshvu Lechol Ze Achar Ze. They didn't sit down to eat at the same time. They all sat to eat separately, albeit in the same place, and albeit that they planned to eat there, but they're all walking, and they walked at their own pace, and they didn't arrive at the same time. Ubirech kol echod la'atzmoi hamoitzi, and each one made a bracha for himself. So of course, there's no difference essentially between the first bracha and after bracha. And indeed, had they sat down at the same time, then the story would have been the same. We'd have the same sofe, with the same psak, everything would have been the same. So why didn't they sit together? I've got no choice. I'm going to have to say that they didn't sit down together. It's a little bit bizarre because they planned to eat together. That was the whole point over here. They specifically stated from the outset, we're going to go to a certain place and eat together. Apparently they arrived at different times. So each one sat down, opened his sandwiches, made a bracha v'amoitzi, they finished all together. Ah, we're going to bench. Now what do we do? And if you look very briefly on Tosfos Daf Mem Beis Omed Aleph, look at the third bottom line of the Tosfos, right at the bottom of the Omed. You got the third bottom line? Second word on the line, v'hocha. V'hocha d'koma hoyu yoshvin. This whole halacha of hoyu yoshvin, the Gemara mashma, in the Gemara it seems to be quite clear, the Mairi, bein b'birkas hamoitzi, bein b'birkas hamozoin. How do I know? B'birkas hamozoin. How do I know that it's true, b'birkas hamozen? Ku'uvda, as in the story of Talmidei the Rav. That was the story we just learned. So that's what Tosfos is referring to, and that's what Tosfos means in our Tosfos, that yes, this is the confirmation of what I pointed out to you on Amud Aleph, that these halachas apply not only to b'birkas hamoitzi, but also to Birkas HaMozen. That's clearly what this story is talking about. If you want to know if that's the case, why indeed did they not discuss it at Birkas HaMoitzi? So Tosfos, I'm going to have to say that they sat down to eat separately. But once they finished eating, they were all together, that's when the question arose. Okay, very good. We're going to stop over here. Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, Sunday morning, we'll start the Gemara and we'll move down the Yomitz.